The topic of the environment can be a little perilous one, to say the least. It's a subject which is based on science, yet by some is approached with emotion. When that emotion presses down on science, the results are not just debate, but delays which can negatively impact the resources both sides in that debate wish to preserve. My first guest today is here to talk about how this collision of arguments and points are being played out regarding Sparta Mountain in northwest New Jersey. He is the Vice President for Stewardship for New Jersey Audubon, John Cecil. Thank you for being here today, sir.
Thank you, Chris.
And learn more about New Jersey Audubon. It's njaudubon.org. And well, just to give some background for the listener who might be unaware, unfamiliar with the structure of things, as far as the New Jersey Audubon's role in all of this, what is your duty? What are you overseeing regarding Sparta Mountain?
So we've been assisting, New Jersey Audubon has the State Division of Fish and Wildlife and the Department of Environmental Protection overall with the development of a forest stewardship plan for the Sparta Mountain Wildlife Management Area. We have a deep interest in this property because we helped preserve it in the 1990s, and we own about 349 acres of an adjacent property to the wildlife management area.
And as far as the area that's the current focus of the debate, how large of an area is that?
So the Sparta Wildlife Management Area is 3,400 acres approximately.
And as far as the plan, I understand that it's for the person listening, it's really based upon a coding system, based upon the location within the land that we're talking about here. Is that correct?
Well, we put a forest stewardship plan together based on a variety of information, our data collection and understanding of the extent and condition of the forest and the wildlife that occupy it. And it's also the plan is developed in the context of regional information. So the U.S. Forest Service collects data on the extent and condition of the forest throughout the northeastern United States, and that information informs the decisions that we're making and recommending, as well as information that other government agencies collect on wildlife populations.
Explain what the coding system HCV 1 through 6 represents.
Sure. So New Jersey Audubon is unique in the state of New Jersey in that we hold a group certificate from the Forest Stewardship Council. The Forest Stewardship Council has developed standards by which forests can be managed sustainably and with good ecological principles and goals in mind, and also taking into account social factors and the role of the public and local people in forest management decision making. And so what we do is we can certify properties according to those Forest Stewardship Council standards, or at least we develop plans against those standards that independent auditors evaluate and ensure that we're complying with those standards. The HCV classification relates to the forest and the kind of forest it is and how unique the forest is relative to the larger landscape that it sits within.
You mentioned the Forest Stewardship Council. That is not exactly a rulemaking enforcement body. That's, I guess, similar to the label you see on extension cord, that it's approved for use, or a good housekeeping seal of approval. That's kind of a parallel to what the Forest Stewardship Council represents.
I think that's a fair comparison. It's a global entity, and they're really trying to develop standards that could be used throughout the world to ensure that forests are managed sustainably. They're arguably the best standards on the planet. There are other standards that other certifying bodies have developed. But we think the Forest Stewardship Council is the most transparent, the standard that meets our interests in terms of wildlife and habitat. And so the idea here is to create a transparent process that has an independent evaluation to ensure that we're doing things in a sustainable and ecologically responsible way.
We're talking with John Cecil, who is the Vice President for Stewardship for New Jersey Audubon, njaudubon.org on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, as far as the plan in its factual structure, because if you go to, we'll pick any article, no matter what the media outlet is, and go to the comments section, you'll see a forceful debate of this topic, and it seems like I alluded to in the introduction that there are many who want to place emotion over facts and science and actual preservation. So when you look at the plan in summary, what are the primary goals?
So the primary goals are to manage the forest in an ecologically sustainable way, but to enhance it for wildlife and habitat. Throughout the northeastern United States, we've got kind of a pressing crisis afoot in the sense that the forests are largely all of the same age. They were all cut down a little over 100 years ago, roughly 100 years ago, and they all grew back at the same time. Because they're all the same age, they're vulnerable to pests and disease. We don't have disturbance across the landscape like we used to. The forest has largely been fragmented in the northeastern United States. And so we lack a suitable amount of really young forest, which a whole suite of wildlife depend upon. And similarly, we lack really old forest because, again, it was all cut down at about the same time. So because we don't have a diverse forest in its structure and age class, again, it's vulnerable to pests and disease. And what we're trying to do here at Sparta Mountain is create a more diverse array of habitat types that will sustain rare and declining wildlife while also ensuring the forest is healthy and that there are new young trees to replace the old trees as they die out.
That was going to be my next question, too. Based upon what I was reading of the plan, to put it in layperson's terms, it's almost like there's a plan to do pruning to cultivate new growth.
Exactly.
In a manner of speaking.
The key thing here is to get some new young recruits, some new young trees. You don't want to have a population of people or animals or trees that are all the same age because potentially they could all disappear at the same time. So what we want to do here is ensure that we have that new young crop of trees coming in behind that can provide a consistent habitat for a suite of wildlife. And so it's really key to think about Sparta Mountain Wildlife Management Area, the 3,400 acres, and the larger landscape of northwestern New Jersey, and the larger landscape that sits within, and ensure we have a real matrix of habitat available for wildlife, but also protecting the forest from a pest like the emerald ash borer or the spotted lantern fly that can decimate trees that are all of the same type or potentially all of the same age.
Is this also a means by which the risk of forest fires could be decreased too? I'm thinking out in California in particular, where I spent a lot of time. There had been environmental protesters who were able to block any thinning of trees and brush and creating firewalls by very limited and very strategic cutting down of older trees, creating new life in forestry as well as to prevent fires. That plan was blocked, and that's why we saw over the past 5 years or so such a crazy increase of wildfires out there. Is that element part of this plan as well?
Certainly, fire is a consideration of factor in how we develop and create the plan. We actually are interested in bringing fire back to the landscape. Fire is historically a really important disturbance mechanism that would help to create gaps in the forest and stimulate new plant growth. Fire in the highlands is a threat, but not a threat as significant as other parts of the state like the pinelands. The fuels and the topography and the humidity and moisture in the forests of the highlands typically mean we have slower burning fires that are less frequent. But still, fire is an important disturbance mechanism. And so many disturbance mechanisms that were historically on the landscape have gone. Passenger pigeons that were prevalent in the numbers of millions would have killed trees and created gaps in the forest. Fires would have done the same. Ice storms, large animals that we don't have on the landscape anymore that were present thousands of years ago, beavers flooding huge areas. These are all disturbance mechanisms that would have stimulated new growth, provided habitat for a diversity of wildlife that we've either suppressed or things have gone extinct, or because of the way the land has been divided up, just don't create those large gaps and disturbances anymore. So that's a key aspect to consider when you think about how the forest naturally worked and how it doesn't work that way currently.
We have a time with John Cecil, who is the Vice President for Stewardship for New Jersey Audubon. It's njaudubon.org on the web. Here on Issues and Ideas. As I mentioned, there's certainly, when you talk about environment and preservation, debate can be very vocal and loud and also misrepresented. The impression by the opponents is that we're one step away from seeing Francois and Pierre with a logging camp up in Sparta Mountain. How much does that misrepresent the reality of the situation?
I think it substantially misrepresents the reality. New Jersey historically did have a vibrant and thriving timber industry, but that's not the case anymore. So many of the mills and logging operations that were present throughout the state have gone away. They've disappeared because the industry has essentially collapsed. So the reality now is it's very hard to do projects like this because it's hard to find operators or folks that can do the work on the ground. Then when we do the projects, the material has to be shipped long distances to mills and places that can process the trees and turn them into paper or products that are useful to others. So the reality here is that the plan is based on creating habitat for wildlife. It's a wildlife management area. We're trying to improve the health of the forest and do it all in an ecologically sustainable way. Economics don't drive the decision making. They always play a factor. But the reality is here that because of the absence of the timber industry in New Jersey, it's actually very expensive and challenging to do these kinds of projects.
He is Vice President for Stewardship for New Jersey Audubon. Their website is njaudubon.org. John Cecil, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the opportunity.